Welcome to the Wild Rose Moon Radio Hour.
In every life, some rain must fall, and you'll get wet as your sorrow calls. But the sun will rise on a brand new morn. You'll be warm and dry and freshly born.
With support from the Marshall County Community Foundation and Judith Robert and Tom Kapusinskas. From historic downtown Plymouth, Indiana, where the Lincoln Highway and Michigan Road cross the banks of the beautiful Yellow River, it's the Wild Rose Moon Radio Hour. Tonight, with musical guests the April Virch Band, blues guitarist Tom Fry, music director John Baylor, the Shoot the Moon Radio Hour quiz show, and me, your announcer, Hannah Livingood. And now, recorded live from the Wild Rose Moon Performing Arts Center, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, your Radio Hour host, a lover of cats, dogs, hats, and babies, George Schricker!
River goes round, around the bend. The river goes round, round, round to the very end. And when it stops, it starts again. It won't be long till the river goes round. It won't be long till the river goes round and round and round. Well, welcome to the Wild Rose Moon Radio Hour. So great to have you, and we are so excited. Hannah, isn't this an exciting day?
It is very exciting. I like to hear some good fiddle tunes from
you. Yeah, you came over from Goshen. How's things going over in Goshen?
Things are okay in Goshen. We've kind of got the summer construction sort of wrapped up. Roads are clear again, so it's looking good.
Yeah, and you're writing songs? Are you still writing songs?
I do. I'm a songwriter. I've been writing since about the age of 16, I think. So I've got quite a few under my...
You're working on a song right now?
I did. I just wrote one. I had a death in the family in my early 20s, and I'm still getting songs out of it. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Wow. Yep. It's great that you can milk death like that.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So we are so excited today to have with us, really, the world-renowned April Virch Band. Would you welcome us, them to our show? I mean, these folks have credentials. You know what I mean? I mean, they've been around the world and back. And April, I was wondering if you could do a song for us, right off the bat.
Yeah, you bet. We'll start with one, get warmed up here. This is called Bell Election.
Man, I don't know about you and me, but that's just about the sweetest thing that's ever happened to that stage. That is so nice. That is music that is joyful and free and makes you just want to live, you know?
That's a wonderful compliment. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, and you grew up doing this. You have a great story. And you actually started, before even fiddling, you started step dancing, right?
Yeah, I did. I have an older sister, 4 years older, Tanya, and she was taking step dancing lessons. And that made me want to do it because I had to do everything she did.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my parents like to say that I was dancing or pretending to dance before I walked. Obviously, I don't remember that, but it was I was 3 when I started lessons.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow. Is it possible to do you have any memories from that, early memories from that time, even after 3, working out and doing that?
I do. Yeah, I can remember taking lessons, and I can remember some of the very early performances, you know, because I think I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed being part of the community and getting up and dancing in front of people. And, you know, when you're cute and little, you can do whatever you want, and people think it's just wonderful.
That's right.
It was harder getting older and realizing that you actually had to work at it and be good.
And you had a teacher, right? You had a teacher of this.
Yeah, so his name was Buster Brown. He passed away a few years ago now.
Great name.
Buster Brown and his wife at the time, Pauline, and they used to travel around the Ottawa Valley. They taught 5 nights a week in a different little town in the valley. And so they taught, I mean, probably thousands of kids over the years to dance. It was group lessons, so I can remember, I have memories of that. It was a school gymnasium where we went for our lessons, and there would be a whole bunch of pieces of masonite on the floor that he would tape down. And so we'd all sort of stand there in a group and learn one step every week. And Buster was a great teacher. He was, I don't know if stern is the right word, but he was all business. There was no fooling around in Buster's class.
Right.
And, you know, we had to concentrate on not letting our heels drag and paying attention and getting it just right, having every click make the right sound.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's terrific. When you started a little later, you started playing fiddle. That was like 3 years. You started at 3, and then you started fiddle at 6.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you don't start with a big fiddle, right?
No, it was an eighth size. They come, I think, one of the smallest. I think there's a 32nd, a 16th. My first was an eighth, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you have a teacher for that as well?
I did, a local teacher that taught me to play by ear. I wanted to fiddle earlier, to be honest. My dad plays guitar and sings, and I mean, with the dancing and my parents being big fans of the local music scene, we grew up around it, and I saw fiddle players, and I loved fiddle music. I loved the sound of the instrument and the energy of it, and the joy, like you said.
Yeah.
And so I started asking for a fiddle when I was 3, and my parents kind of thought, I don't know, that's a lot for a 3-year-old to try and practice, you know, new steps and an instrument. And so they made me wait. I think they thought I might grow out of it, actually. And I bugged and bugged, and I finally got a fiddle for my 6th birthday.
Oh, that's great. Now, I'm a great believer in geography, and I love the idea of being able to situate the Ottawa Valley. Can you help us a little bit with that? I believe the Ottawa River obviously runs right through that area, right?
That's right.
And then is it boundaried by the St. Lawrence, or how does it, or is it more just all in the valley of the Ottawa River?
Yeah, so if you look on the map, actually, what we call the Ottawa Valley region is actually Renfrew County.
Okay.
That's the name of the county. And so if you start in Canada's capital city of Ottawa and follow the Ottawa River sort of northwest to the tip of Algonquin Park, that whole region, and it's quite a large area, is what we consider the Ottawa Valley.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That gives me a little bit clearer idea of where it is. Now, you've brought with you some excellent musicians.
I have.
Alex Rubin over here on guitar. He was just fantastic in that song, wasn't he?
And Alex, you teach music in Boston?
I do, yeah.
And you've been doing that for how long?
I've basically been doing it since college, so since 2011 I've been doing it, quote, professionally. I was probably doing it amateurishly before that.
Okay, great.
And I've with my one student before that.
Yeah, and I've seen a clip of yours online that was very exciting. You were playing with a very exciting musician there.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So that's great. And Cody Walters, you play bass, stand-up bass here, and that's a rather interesting bass. I see that the lid comes off or something.
This bass has a trap door in the back.
Wow.
That comes off. And for traveling, you take the strings down, and the whole neck folds inside the body.
That's very unique and interesting. I'm sure a lot of people haven't seen that. No. But not all basses are built like that.
No, this is pretty unique.
Yeah, that's great. And you've played in a lot of bands?
A few over the years, yeah.
Are you from North Carolina?
Not originally. I grew up in Kansas.
Oh, in Kansas. And that's where I read, I think, that you got the bug for the bass.
I started in college. My roommates were playing bluegrass at the time.
Yeah.
And one of them had an upright bass that was kind of in the corner, not being used. So
wow.
I decided I would try and keep up with them.
Well, that's great. Well, let's see if you guys can put something else together for us here. We'd love to hear another tune.
All right. We'll play a tune that we love. It's a beautiful melody. It's called Polska from Kumla. And we learned it when we were traveling in Sweden on tour. We made friends and exchanged tunes. And we love a lot of different folk styles and regional styles and are big fans of the Polska. So we'll try our Canadian/American version of a Swedish Polska.
That song is so romantic. It's beautiful. It's like some kind of folk love song or something.
Yeah, you know, that's how I felt about it, and that's quite possibly true. But the interesting sort of legend behind it is that the village, Kumla, in the title, there's a large prison there, and this this beautiful melody was written by one of the prisoners long, long ago.
Wow.
And so it's been passed down for generations.
Well, yeah. You know, on your travels, you've all gone to a lot of different places. And I'm sure that you've developed a whole host of stories that you tell from various things that you've experienced on the road. Would you care to share? Each of you share one of them. If we can't get them in this segment, we'll get them in the next. But if you have something from that time when you learned that, that would be great.
That's an interesting question. Yeah, I guess there are a lot of them, and to me, that's the beautiful thing about the music and the tunes, because it's like when you go on vacation or something really special happens to you and the rest of your family and friends aren't there and you try to take pictures and then you go home and try and explain it and you realize there's just no way.
Right.
The pictures don't do it justice. And that's the one really cool thing about having music from those places is that you can sort of pour all of that, you know, whether it's an emotion or the people or the scenery, into that tune, and then other people hear it, and somehow they experience that, and they might not experience it in the same way, but I think that's what makes music so alive and such a personal thing, such a personal journey. So that's not really answering your question about stories,
but
that's just what it sort of made me think of. Do you guys have anything you wanted to share?
I'll have to think about it.
Yeah.
Well, think about it for our last segment. You might want to think about a story that you haven't shared. But that's so great that you get to travel around and then bring up the music. Have you done that in more locations than that one? Have you?
Yeah, definitely. You know, even within the traditions that we play more often, that maybe aren't from so far away.
Appalachian.
Yeah,
tunes.
Like they get passed on to us by one particular person. You know, and so you sort of, you carry that with you. And oftentimes we're looking for different versions, you know, like we play a version right now of Billy in the Lowground, a very common tune, but we've found sort of this rare version that we learned from our friend in Grayson County, Virginia. His name's Jerry Correll, and he told us about this rare version that was recorded long ago by Bayard Gray, I think was the name. And so there's all these sources, and you kind of piece them together in your head, you know?
That's great. It's great the way you do all that. It's a really kind of... a neat a level of integration of all your experience, which is great. Well, listen, we're gonna have a little bit more of the April Virch Band in our last segment of the show. But right now, we just want to thank you for joining us this hour. Weren't they terrific? We'll be back. And coming up next, we have Tom Fry. On the blues guitar, and we also have Shoot the Moon Game Show, where we hope we learn just a little bit more about April Virch.
With support from the Marshall County Community Foundation, Judith Robert and Tom Kapusinskas, and the Friends of the Wild Rose Moon, you're listening to Wild Rose Moon Radio Hour.